From Puebla, it's Austin, Texas. This is Stacker News Live!
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another exciting episode of Stacker News Live. My name is Carl. It's too dark. I can't see. Yeah. I was like, I'm going to wear shades, and it's just too dark. I literally could barely hit that button right now to swap it over. How was your week?
Oh, I'm good. Yeah, it was great. I think it went pretty good as far as I could tell. Things happened. Yeah, no, I have nothing to report, unfortunately. Nothing exciting. How about you? How was your week?
Oh, man, dude. Had a blast this week. It was a good time.
Yeah, I saw you go off in the saloon yesterday. What's up with that?
Dude, so we went. I'm trying to think how much should I share. So we went to Emo's last night. We were watching Eve 6.
What is Emo's?
It's a
venue.
Venue, yeah, yeah.
He's venue.
Yeah, and we were hanging out with my friends, and then you know, well, what do you call it? Came too. I don't want to say who he is. He came, and then So like, we were gonna go home after the thing, but one of my best friends' like sister was like, do you want to go drink? And I was like, sure, let's go have, you know. And then it turned into like a wild night. And then luckily, what's his name was there. And it was just like, after a while, it was just like babysitting. Like a younger sister. And it's just like, but I remember doing that, because I have a younger sister. So I remember doing that for my sister when she would go out. And I was like 22 or 23, 24. Remember that? Like, I don't know if you, but like for me, like I remember being that age. And like hanging out with my sister and like her friends or like her brother, or her now her husband, but brother-in-law back then, and like having a babysitter, but like having to make sure she's fine and all that stuff. But like I found myself in this weird situation last night where I was like, well, no, wait a minute, she's like an old woman. Like what is going on? So it was just a lot of that, dude. I was just like, what is? Anyway, so I had a rant.
Ah, okay.
That's what the rant was about.
Yeah,
it was just like, dude, I'm just like. Because I've never had to do that for. Yeah, it was such a weird situation.
It's always worth having something to talk about, though. So it's a story, or
it's a lesson learned.
Yeah, it's an adventure.
Never hang out. With
a lot of adventures are misadventures.
Yeah,
they kind of come and.
And it all started was like because we were gonna go to Raising Cane's, and it was all like. Why don't we go here instead? And I'm just like, that was like when the path could have went this way or that way. And I was like, dude, you should have just went to Raising Cane's. Like, that could have just been that.
What is going on with our green screen, by the way? We got a lot of weirdness, Scott. Like, I have...
I don't know.
My boundary is disappearing, and then...
Well, I can... Let me see if I could fix it.
We're kind of off the green
screen. Well, here, let me start it, and then I'll fix it, and we'll go there. Okay, if you've never seen this crazy show before, it's called Stacker News Live. We cover the top three stories here on Stacker News. From Patreon Bitcoin, check out is it the YouTube still there? Stacker. Boom, right there. Just type Stacker in, and it comes up, and there we go. Check it out. So check it out here. Wumble posts videos every week. Wumble's behind the scenes making clips. Check them all out. There's some really good stuff. He did an Idiocracy clip the other day. It's pretty funny. He's getting better at these. Look at them. Look at this one. This one's like really creepy, but it's good.
Well, yeah. I mean, that was you got a lot of comments on that photo.
Really? Yeah. Anyways, check it out. There's a whole community building up here. People keep subscribing. I don't know why. If you have never heard of Stacker News, check out stacker.news right here. This is what we're looking at. If you've never seen it, it's a cool place. Come check it out. It's pay to post and also the front page of Bitcoin. And then what's the other one, too? There's like one other catch line.
I think the two catch lines that you want to give it.
No, I heard one the other day that was like, oh, that's actually a really good way to explain it.
Well, we say money is the moderator.
Yeah, that's a really good line.
Yeah, it is. But it wasn't to you 3 months ago when I introduced it. But
on the show?
Yeah.
I don't remember saying that, but I'll go back and look.
All right.
Anyways, let me pull open that thing here. Boom, right there. All right, the number three top story of this week is The Third Way, a case for a third implementation. This is from Chibi Song, April 13th, 19 comments, 9,796 sets. Keyword, what's this?
Yeah, so I think it was maybe 2 weeks ago that Jimmy Song and Samson Mao and I think Parker Lewis, they all announced Production Ready, which is a nonprofit that they formed to fund a third implementation. The two other implementations being Core and Knots, and they're going to do this third implementation that they are labeling as conservative in nature, and Production Ready is like an ode to that because they think that something that is ready for production should be more conservative, and they are.
Sorry, I'm like trying to fix this. Keep going. I'm listening. I'm listening. I'm just like trying to make.
I feel like it's a slider issue. Like there's a slider in that
UI. I know that's. But I updated. That's what happened. I literally updated.
Oh, that'll happen.
Yeah.
That'll
sorry, guys. Keep going. I'm sorry.
Anyway, maybe they started to vibe code their product.
Hope not.
Yeah. And they said that the reason why they formed this is because they feel like two implementations really isn't enough. And they have problems with Core because I think Core is more or less a monopoly. And they have problems with Knots, or they don't, I guess he doesn't actually criticize Knots as much as he criticizes Core here because he just thinks that the argument he's trying to make in this is that two isn't enough. Because you can imagine one of two implementations becoming quote unquote compromised or captured. And that leaves us back in the same situation where we have a monopoly. And the argument is three is better than two. I mean, you could say that four is better than three. You could say, using the same argument, you could say that five is better than four. So I don't really exactly follow. I do agree, though, that monopolies have less accountability than is desirable in most scenarios because they have less accountability. They don't really have to. There's no competition. If they slip up, there's no one who's going to check them. The market has nowhere to go. So I do agree that a monopoly is bad. And therefore, more implementations are better than less in some cases.
Yeah, I can't fix it.
Ah, that's okay. We'll just keep
it. I think because I updated and then it like screwed stuff up.
All good. I just wanted to know.
Yeah, but you're like disappearing. you're like Marty.
But I'm staying.
You're like Marty. What's that guy? What's the one from Back to the Future? Gosh, what's his name? Michael J. Fox. You're like Michael J. Fox.
Marty McBride, right?
Yeah, you're like him in Back to the Future right now. You're literally disappearing. Stay in this timeline, Keon.
I'll be here.
Anyways.
Anyway, yeah, so I think they're just trying. I think Jimmy is trying to put out. I think we'll likely see a variety of arguments in favor of more implementations from the Production Ready nonprofit team as they try to raise funds to be able to fund developers and whatever other constructs they might need within the nonprofit to maintain another implementation. Their implementation is going to be based off of Core, and Jimmy describes that in here as being because the Core client has existed for a long time and is sufficiently hardened and trusted that they want to base another implementation off of that rather than starting one from scratch, which you have to build up a bunch of trust in. And so you have kind of a lead if you can fork off of Core. Bitblock Boom. He presented this at Bitblock Boom a month ago. I think it was Bitblock Boom in Dallas. I think we're in for a third client at some point that likely uses the same consensus code. So there's not much to be upset about in regard to accidental chain splits.
Yep. The top comment was from. Oh, hang on. Let me go back. The top comment was from Justin. Justin said, BTCD effectively powers the Lightning Network. Many thousands of nodes to say it has zero adoption is to ignore an important lesson needed to keep Core in check. Hubris. The goal is to break up Core's monopoly on distribution of full nodes. You can't ignore the second most important implementation. Core's monopoly is not an implementation. It's in distribution. And then he goes on to kind of reiterate exactly what he's talking about. This got the top comment. I go to you, Keon. Why did this get the top comment for? What do you think? What do you suspect?
Oh, why did people give Justin more sats? I think because it's a divergent take because most people would agree with the assessment that Quora's monopoly in terms of implementation. And Justin's saying it's not about implementation, it's about distribution. And I would love for him to define distribution a little better and why monopolies of distribution exist and stuff like that. I've actually discussed this with Justin a little bit in other threads around implementation diversity. And my point is that I think there will always be a de facto monopoly, whether it's because of implementation or distribution. I think that there's going to likely be one implementation that wins, and the one that we all use, and just because of network effects and just the way humans kind of tend to copy each other and do the same thing as each other. So I'm actually kind of bearish on the notion that multiple implementations will have much of an impact. I think Justin's comment is perhaps a great example of that, is that we do have other implementations already, like complete rewrites that don't really see much adoption, and perhaps it is because of distribution. But I would rather than distribution, I would say network effect. That's what I would take him to mean when he says distribution. But I don't know.
There's some other. The second most popular comment was from you again. What was that? What was this part?
So here? I think Jimmy wrote an earlier version of this post, and I guess he had made a few errors in it that he wanted to correct before, like, committing to it, and I attracted quite a few comments, and I just wanted to reshare those.
Jimmy came in there and started talking, right? What did he say here? Anything?
Mostly said that he made the new version because he made issues in the other one. He didn't delete that post because he didn't like the comments in it.
And then Merch also jumped in there too as well. Looks like got some good back and forth here. A lot of interesting comments here. On both sides, or whatever sides they're on.
All three sides.
Three maybe. Sides, apparently.
It's the third implementation.
Yeah.
Or fourth, according
to Justin. Yeah, go check it out. I mean, it's really cool to see, like, Jimmy's posting on here, getting active feedback. Love to see that. You know, Jimmy's somebody I have a lot of respect for, so you love to see that he's using Stacker News this way, trying to get a better understanding of how to, you know, distribute it, maybe. I don't know. And Justin, if you're listening, dude, come on Stacker News Live. Let's talk about this. I think I shot him an email maybe a month and a half ago to come on Stacker News Live and like join us like Carvalho did. So yeah, if you're down, even you too, Jimmy, if you want to do that, let me know. Happy to provide a platform
for you to talk to
that three people.
Our watch. Moms and sisters, yeah.
Now this gets out there. Wumble makes clips. Cool stuff. You got any more comments on this or no?
No, I'm good.
Okay, cool. Let's jump into number two. What year does avoiding a soft fork become riskier than implementing one? This is from Aardvark. 94 comments, 8,893 sets. Keon, what's Aardvark talking about this week?
Yeah, so Aardvark said that, or asserts that a soft fork has to be implemented and that... it's needed. It'll have to happen at some point, and that there is some consensus around the soft forks that people would want, or at least there's consensus around the ones being discussed, which are opcat, opctv, and checksig from stack. Aardvark themselves says that opcat appears to have the most generalizability, or that is their understanding as far as the time that they put this post. I don't think they are asserting that they know for certain, but they say it will solve the L2 scaling problems, the security budget, and quantum threat. And I think there are, I would guess there are proposals about ways to layer on top of opcat that corroborate those things. At least the security budget cliff is because opcat, I think, consumes so much block space that it would likely keep miners rich and happy, and there are things you can do with opcat that allow you to make like post quantum spending conditions. And then a bunch of people came in and kind of addressed that. I think I would disagree that I think a soft fork has to be implemented to to address L2 scaling, the security budget cliff, or quantum threat. As far as I know, that is not. We definitely could want one. Whether we need one, I think, is probably not true, at least at this point. We'd certainly, we do need consensus cleanup things eventually. I think that is a soft fork that I think we could argue best is needed. Just last week, I think on Cygnet, there was a trial done where someone created a non-standard transaction that took, I think it was several minutes to verify. And so preventing those things from being able to be propagated on mainnet would be worth soft forking for. It isn't like an attack or a vector for attack. And then, yeah, so then you can debate. Then we just end up in this other situation, like what soft fork do we want that gives us these other things that we want? And that, for as far as I can tell, there is no consensus on that. No consensus on whether we should want those other things or those other things are worth soft forking for. And then I also disagree with the premise that if we need a soft fork in the future, we won't be able to get it in. I don't think that's true. I think the argument is mostly that they make is that we don't get a speculative soft fork in now. It'll be hard to get a speculative soft fork in later, and I think that's probably true. But as far as like soft forks that we need that are essential, I think it doesn't matter how long we wait, because if they're needed and they're essential, we'll fork it in. So that's kind of where I sit on it. But more importantly, there's a bunch of people in the comments who have a point of view.
Yeah. Optimism had the top comment on this one. He specifically pointed out the a soft fork has to be implemented. I'm not sure if that fact is even being debated at this point. And then Optimism said, I challenge that. The only reason to have to do a soft fork is loans. Instead, follow the money. And you'll see why Opcat got so much attention when it did. When it failed to get momentum, you'll see that the same money source shifted to something different. What does he mean by that? Is he saying that just follow the money, basically?
Yeah, he's saying follow the money. He's saying, I think, specifically the Ordinal, Wizard, what is it, Udi, and that group, I think we're pushing pretty hard on Opcat, and that is kind of what he's... That created a lot of noise that is indistinguishable in many cases from, legitimate, support or consensus, and that's kind of what he's saying there. Similar with OpsCTV, he thinks that it is also kind of a, not a grassroots... not grassroots consensus that it's happening. It's like the noise, it's noise consensus, which can be manufactured with money. A lot of it is around these kind of bridge scenarios where a lot of startups do exist. I wonder how many individuals who are kind of not working for one of these companies want something like OpsCTV or CheckSig from Stack.
That's a good point.
And I would guess there are some. And because it does give you more expressive scripting capabilities, but they perhaps don't have the time to spend all day on X telling everyone that they should support it.
Definitely check it out. It's a long, lengthy one. As you can tell, I'm still scrolling through the comments. If you this spurred a lot of discussion. Was there any other comment specifically, Keon, you think that it's worth pointing out?
No, I just thought it was, in general, I thought there was a lot of good debate in here. And I thought it was worthwhile to discuss, because I think the soft fork discussion had kind of died off as of late.
This could be a swarm. I was telling you, you need to add that button.
A swarm?
I think once comments get past a certain threshold in Stacker News and you see a ton of, activity, it should become a swarm or something where it's it's almost like an AMA taking place, right? You should probably jump in there. There's some good stuff happening.
Yeah.
Anyways, we're going to jump into the next. Oh, actually, the number one top story this week. It's The Rise and Decline of the Marginal Revolution by Tyler Cohen, Chapter 2. This was from Dan, 13 comments, 13,000 cents in the books and article and econ territory. What's this one about?
Yeah, so Tyler Cohen is kind of, I would say, a popular economist, not, and I was going to say pop economist, but that's kind of derogatory. But he's like, he's just a popular.
Wait, why is it derogatory? Come up
a pop economist? I don't know. It's kind of like pop. You know, like people say, oh, it's like a pop song. And it's
oh, you mean like he's a popular economist?
Yes.
So he's a pop. He's a pop economist.
Well, yeah, but I mean that can either be good or bad. That can mean something can be popular because it's super good, or something can be popular because it's like so.
But yeah, that's the.
It's kind of so derivative and so familiar and so and just like acceptable and kind of bland.
It's a pop economist. Don't call him pop economist because like that's true though. You can also be original and be popular.
Yeah, so I think he's popular for the right reasons rather than the wrong ones. But he's very good at spotting trends and kind of addressing them from a economic lens and educating people and informing people about the economics around the topic. And I think that's one of the reasons he's been so successful.
This feels doomerish a little bit. Is that what I'm? Haven't read this yet, but
nope, not doomerish at all.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, he wrote. So Tyler Cohen wrote a book on the Marginal Revolution, which is also the name of his blog. The Marginal Revolution is a period of time in economics that we see as like the seed of modern economics in many cases, or at least that's Cohen's conjecture. He named his blog after it, and he's written this book on it. I'll try to describe what marginalism is. I'm not an economist, so forgive me. It's the idea that economic decisions and choices with respect to things like value, cost, and benefits are best understood at the margin and best understood in terms of marginal changes, meaning the value, cost, and benefits of one additional unit of something to a person or firm. And so that it's quite abstract, but it's...
So intuitive marginalism, which I've never heard of, but it's fascinating. Did you read this?
I read that part, yeah.
Yeah, so apparently in China, if you intentionally kill, I'm sorry to deviate, but I think this is fascinating. If you kill the pedestrian you hit in your car, you get fined. And then if they have to go to the hospital, it requires like lifetime surgery or disability, you have to also pay for that too. As a person who hit the pedestrian. Wild.
Yeah, so I guess in general they kill, like if they, rather than maim a pedestrian, they'll make sure that they kill them when they hit them, so that they don't have to pay the ongoing
The other cost. Thing though, like, do they still go to jail or no? Because like...
I would guess it's mostly a fine thing.
Wow. But here in America, we subsidize that. We just send them to jail. And then the taxpayers pay for everything, right?
So I actually don't know. I don't know in either case very well. I just read that brief account in there.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, it is.
Intuitive marginalism. Interesting.
Yeah, this is the first chapter that you're in now. It covers several views of marginalism and how it's like kind of an ambiguous term. In economics, it means something fairly specific.
So here's even another. Yeah, I'm going to read this. This is crazy. I feel like these are nuggets they've never heard spoken. And I'm reading it. Okay, I'm sorry. It's just like, what?
Yeah.
This is a good find, Ed. Really good find. Well, yeah. Popular find, I guess.
Yeah, it's a good. Anyway, I guess before the Marginal Revolution, like, we were, economists were primarily focused on aggregates or, like, the overall output of production, and didn't really go down to the individual really hard. That's the general gist of the book, is explaining the Marginal Revolution. The second chapter that Den covers here is about Jevon, because Jevon, I guess, is the one who popularized marginalism within economists, or that's Cowan views Jevon as being like the strand of marginalism that still exists in economists, or like gave in economics that gave birth to like the current state of economics. And Jevon is, we know Jevon because we've covered Jevon's paradox before, which is that when the use of a good becomes more efficient, it becomes used more rather than used less, because that's the paradox, is you would think that.
So
yeah.
Gosh.
What?
How far do I want to? I don't know if I fully believe. Well, I guess it's not even about belief. I don't know if I fully grok that to make a comment, but something sounds off a little bit.
About what?
This whole, this framing that he's using, I guess, around here with Jevons Paradox and, it's okay. Keep going.
Yeah.
I might have some thoughts later.
Yeah. In general, the Marginal Revolution is just about...
Well, just this specific part. I think the other thing... I mean, either way, it's fascinating. I mean, you're not seeing this stuff on Twitter, right?
Yeah. It's just not... it's just a way of thinking about economics that I think is helpful. Rather, you know, it's less about... It's more true. You end up closer to facts when you think about things at the margin rather than thinking about
them. So
that's
where, like, maybe that's the part that irks me a little bit, because there's, like, you know, there is such things as, like, a... I mean, you're seeing it right now in, like, AI, right? Like, where you have, like, OpenAI, they have, like the chips, then they have the data centers, and they have... And it goes all the way down. It's like a vertical... distribution, right? We were just talking about distribution a while ago. But they have, like, vertical distribution, and there's, like, three big AI companies that have, like, vertical distribution like that. So that's why when I look at this, for me, it just appears a little bit... I understand it's from an economics lens, but I don't necessarily think they take into account how markets work, dare I say. I would love to hear what going to say on discipline, but
yeah, I mean, they talk a little bit about AI in here. I mean, I think that might have been what motivated Cowan to write the book. He actually made the book, or he, like, fed the book into, I think, Claude, and Claude is, like, on his website you can interact with Claude as, like, a companion to the book. But he talks about chips in here, because one of the things that people talk about with regard to, like, NVIDIA and a lot of these chip companies is that the moment there's a breakthrough in AI where we can make more efficient use of AI chips, then those companies are going to lose value. And you would using Jevons' reasoning, you could say that, well, if we're just making more efficient use of chips, we're going to use even more chips than we ever had before, not less. And so I think that...
the thing for me doesn't track, basically. Like, I understand what he's saying, and I believe he believes it's true. It just doesn't track. Because we were just looking at, like, Raspberry Pis earlier, and apparently we bought some, like, for, like, $80 for two of them, Raspberry Pi 5s, and now they're, like, double. They're literally double. So I actually think it goes the opposite way, or it seems to be going the opposite way. If you just look at, like, I mean, that's one particular thing and a little small thing. But what I'm trying to say is it actually might go the opposite way. This is where I don't know if they take into account markets and how they work. I don't know. But I haven't read this book. I want to read it now. So
there's that. Yeah. With the Raspberry Pi, I think that's just, like, a supply issue. That company is known to have trouble scaling to meet demand. But I think Jevon would say if they were able to make Raspberry Pis a lot cheaper, we would see a lot more uses for Raspberry Pis and a lot more. So I don't think that's inconsistent. It's just going, it's just, like, the opposite direction. It's still, the reasoning still applies.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's just more of, like, a, do you like your coffee with milk or not? That kind of thing. Anyways, give it to me black, right? Top comment was from Simple Snacker. Said, I've always approached economics from a moral or more mathematical lens, and thus the whole Marginal Revolution thing bothered me. Great, thank you. So I was wondering if I'm the only one that's irked, but isn't the whole Marginal Revolution just a statement of derivatives? And then he goes on to explain. Yeah, I didn't read this post before, but I knew you would explain it. What do you think about what Simple Stacker said there, Keon?
I'm not exactly sure... I think a lot of this is just, like, what is your semantic preference? And I think Simple Stacker has a semantic preference that differs. I would say he doesn't, as far as I understand, he doesn't entirely disagree with the framing or the premise as much as he thinks that it's better expressed in other terms. That is, I think, where I landed reading that comment.
Skip post, man.
Anyway, yeah, Tyler Cowan, I guess, retweeted it, which is awesome.
Oh, did he really?
Yep.
Where do you
see
it?
It's at the very at the bottom. If you go all the way to the bottom.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I ended up retweeting it.
Nice. There you go. Love to see it. Well, if you're watching this, Tyler,
He's not.
Okay, good.
He has way better things to do. He's also just like a word person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool stuff, man. Well, love to see it. Maybe get him AMA, maybe, right? AMA?
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
That'd be cool. I'm definitely going to... This is some night reading for me right here. Definitely going to check it out. I love how he put the whole book online. Is he selling it? Like, actually selling it anywhere?
No, no. He's written posts before about that we should just be giving our work to AI. Like, we just need to... You actually want to be writing for AI. I know
the base
camp Kevin people, Kelly wrote about that.
The base camp people do this too. 37 signals.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people do that.
It's actually not like a bad idea. I prefer a physical form, though, but and I know you do too, but yeah, maybe online it probably makes more sense.
Yeah. I think he probably wanted to experiment with an AI, like, pair reading.
Yeah, because I think you actually get more, like, you probably get more out of just, like, reading material. Like, I definitely get more out of reading online. Yeah, than I do, like, watching a video, right?
For sure. I learn a lot more from reading than I do watching or listening to anything. Because I'm focused on
it. Do you ever notice, like, when you're actually reading a book, like, at least for me, I've noticed, like, when I read an actual real book, I feel like that seeps right into my soul almost in a weird way. It's like becomes part of me. Do you get that too?
Yeah, I think it becomes sort of hypnotic, sort of meditative. Because again, you're just like only focused on that thing. If you're like on your laptop reading an article or something, you have all kinds of notifications, or you're like tempted to go to the tab that shows you food videos and scantily kind of clad women or whatever
you have. Food videos are you watching?
Yeah.
Okay.
What did
I said, what kind of food videos are you watching?
I don't, I go to my X feed sometimes and it's like, it's like a variety. Do they have a food
Twitter?
What do you mean?
Do they have a food Twitter, like a part?
I think there are a lot of people who post like food videos, but yeah, I'll see people making all kinds of weird stuff.
I should check that out. Because I know they have like this, I was telling Topher about it, they have like the teapot. Have you ever looked at the teapot thing on Twitter?
Teapot?
Yeah, that's a whole thing.
Carr said he told you about a teapot.
Remember I told you about that teapot and the post? What were they? What was their? I forget. I learned too much stuff at one time. Do you remember that teapot thing I was telling you about? Remember the teapot I was telling you when we were coming back from the Omni? Like 2 weeks ago? And I was like, there's this whole post-rationalism that's taking place online. And these people are like, they have their own little segments called Teapot on Twitter.
I remember that conversation.
You remember that conversation?
I remember the teapot.
Oh, that's what it's called. Yeah.
Oh, teapot.
Yeah. Anyways, I was telling him, like, there's just these different areas I've noticed in Twitter where it's just, like, these little, like, our niche, like, Bitcoin and, like, other stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, all of our little bubbles.
All our little bubbles, yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyways, cool. Yeah,
we have our own money.
That's true. Yeah, we don't. Yeah, we have money.
Did you see this? Did you read this on Stacker News this week? The Rise and Decline of Marginal Revolution?
No, I haven't.
No? Well, Keon just explained it, but there's probably not like a two-sentence takeaway from here.
It's just Cowen trying to educate people or inform people on what the marginal revolution is on economics and sort of drawing it forward into the present day and explaining things and in terms of the marginal revolution.
He actually gives away his book for free online.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, and you can explore with AI. That's pretty nice.
Oh, can you? What do you have? Do you click
that? I've been doing a lot of that recently.
Oh, wow. He has it like this. Oh, that's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. So you can ask it.
You can chat with the book?
Oh, interesting. Yo, what's up? Let's see if that works. What do you want to know about Tyler's book? Does he say anything about... That's really cool, Bitcoin. Yo. That's really cool. What application is this?
I would guess he probably vibe-coded it. This also has a look and feel of like an open source tool that someone made.
Oh, wow. That's really cool. What do you think about it, Tover?
I think this is going to be like the future going forward with like books and articles. You're going to have AI integrated. Because it's such a useful thing to have. It's like you could talk to the author.
Oh, yeah, you could basically talk to the author at the same time. Or like a vibe coded version of them?
Yeah, just in the context of the book. Yeah.
That's interesting.
I hate the UI. I hate how cluttered the UI. And I just don't like chat.
No, it's not cluttered. Why?
I think it. I just don't like. I actually don't like chat UIs. And then seeing chat UI in a place where I'm mostly just kind of want to be zen with text, it upsets me. And we're just adding these chat UIs to like everything. Like Google has them in Chrome now.
Oh, don't use that. I mean, this to me feels really helpful.
Amazon added it.
Because I have to do this anyway if I'm researching stuff. Like I'll go and like accept the research stuff.
I almost prefer a separate tab.
Yeah.
What if instead of the chat UI, you had like a little paperclip? Talk to you. No. Make suggestions.
No, I don't know what the. I don't know what. I would guess this is not like the terminal state of AI UI. That's what I'm hoping. It is something else. It is not a. It is not a, adding a chat UI to everything that already exists. Because everything already has a certain level of clutter, and it's likely, like, fully saturated with clutter to the point that it can be, or the way that the market accepts it. And then we're going on and we're adding a chat UI to everything to add AI to it. So
all right, I find then I guess for you, you're going to have to open a new tab, Kia. And then there you go. That's your world right there.
I guess.
You want this world or you want this world? I like that. That looks way nicer.
Oh.
There's your world, Kia.
So there's even a bigger question.
Heck yeah.
Do they have an LLMs.txt?
Ooh. How would I find that, Tiffer?
You go to his root URL and put LLMs.txt.
Right here?
Yeah, you would just go to tylercowen.com/LLMs.txt.
Is it LLM or LLMS?
I thought it was L. It might be LLM.txt rather than.
.txt?
Yeah. Not found. Yeah. Or no, it might be LLMs because it's robots.
Yeah, try putting an S in there.
Yeah,
I lost my mouse. Did my thing go away? I probably ran out of battery. So what happens when you try to play with AI? All right, there it goes. Am I here? Oh, there it goes. Why is this not working? Okay. Anyway, maybe that's telling me to move on to the next subject.
Okay.
All right, well, cool. Let's go to Womble.
Thank you, Topher.
Thank you, Topher. That was amazing. Let's go to Wumble's Picks. Wumble's Picks. Can you believe it? It's Wumble's Picks. Yeah. I do that sound. It really turns people on.
Right. I'm rock hard right now.
So. Hey, we gotta keep it moving for the audio listeners.
Yeah, I moved something. You know.
An observation on SN. This is from Ardvar. Keon, what's this?
Aardvark discusses their experience on X the last 3 months, where they learned a lot about the Lightning Network, and they said that. Well, he says independently that X is, you know, kind of full of crap and maybe people who are less knowledgeable about things, and then he separates that from his experience on X being good because he felt like he could be less knowledgeable and there was less assumed knowledge on X. I think those two are like the same thing. I think those two are compatible. What you found on X is a lot of other people who were at your knowledge level with regard to the Lightning Network. And so you had basically had peers attempting to learn and explain Lightning with. And he was saying that when he's on Stacker News, he feels like when he says things that are maybe not exactly accurate, he feels like there are people who, rather than they have like low empathy or low sympathy for that because they're like further on in their journey. And I think that is definitely true is we do not have enough Lightning noobs or people who are a little bit earlier into Bitcoin on Stacker News. And so there are no peers for him to skill up with depending on where his journey is. And yeah, so I think that is pretty accurate, and I do wish people were more empathetic towards people who are getting into
Bitcoin. Wumble had a question. He said, I would be interested in hearing your two guys, me, Wumble, your two guys' thoughts on how SN posting commenting has or has not changed over the years. Keon, I'm gonna go to you.
Yeah, it's, I think over the first, my recollection, at least over the first like year or two, was like it was primarily link sharing. And then at some point, like 2023 to 2024, longer form content became a little more popular. Over the, like, before that, we had a little bit of it. Like, a few people would come on and write dedicated content there. And then it, then long form content became, and then the wallet switch, I think, turned off quite a few people who were engaging in a lot of the long form, because many of them didn't want to go deep on self-custody, which is what's required for the wallet stuff. And so long form kind of dropped off a bit, except for the people who wanted to run their own nodes and stuff. And then posting now is probably somewhat of a mix of both long form and a lot of links with summaries, I would say, is what we've kind of trended to more recently, where people don't want to just see a link. They kind of want your help understanding it.
Yeah, that's where, like, for me, we were talking about the swarm thing earlier. So I guess I would answer that. It'd say, like, yeah, I think everything you said tracks, like, as far as the commenting thing, for sure. I think the only thing I've seen change over the years is, like, people leave, right? That's probably just more because there's other places that people want to post. And I definitely feel like it's definitely just the world in general has become more siloed. You can't really, that's like humans, right? And especially in social stuff. But I do think now I wish there was a way to, like, the stuff that I love to read or comment on Stacker News is like the stuff when there's like a ton of engagement, like what we saw earlier, or stuff that makes the top three, like stuff that's actually worth, you know, outside of, I mean, everything's worth posting, but I'm saying like the stuff that really gets a lot of engagement, or like that's really opinionated, or like the stuff that we've been covering for the past 3 years or whatever, 2 years we've been doing the show. I feel like it would be cool to see that stuff show up on the feed and everything there, because I feel like there's some really good, like this whole Den post, I didn't even see that. Like,
it was like it was on the front page for like 3 days.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, stuff like that where it's like, I saw the Jimmy one because I recognized Jimmy's name, you know, stuff like that. But I feel like there's just like some things where, yeah. And then also too, I think the other thing, just like the comments in general over the years, we're in a bear market now, so it's definitely gotten more like heated sometimes. Stacker News is a good place to rant, right? So yeah, I think that's the only thing that's probably changed. There's more ranting, I would say, now maybe than before. I don't know, maybe, you know, do you feel like there's more ranting now than before?
More ranting? I don't know. I definitely think there's more,
like, ranting in the comments, you mean?
That's what, yeah, I mean. Like, I think the comments got a little bit more feisty when we switched to remove trust from ranking. And so the visibility of people who are in like a kind of a more angry mindset was sort of increased, because those people tend to, I think, spend more, and they're willing to like boost their own voice more. And it didn't really have much of the zen that would otherwise be required to meet like a consensus threshold. I would say that, but that was over, that's probably that point in time, or when that switched, was like earlier this year when we switched to like, all right, let's do an experiment where we remove trust. And
I think the saloon to me feels like the best thing that happened to Stacker News during that time, Wumble. So like when we first started, There wasn't a saloon. I remember when I first started, there wasn't a saloon, and then there became a saloon. I think that's when it became part of my morning routine, was the saloon, going to the saloon anytime, and then checking stuff out or commenting or whatever. So I feel like that's the only thing I think that has evolved for the better, is the saloon talk, relatively. I feel like it's always been good. Outside of that, yeah, obviously there's a couple, like, people that should be like kind of what Scoresby was saying last week, like wanted posters or whatever, or maybe I was saying that, but we should definitely have like an out. There's a lot of outlaws on Stacker News, so you definitely have to use that mute button at some point. But other than that, I feel like it's fine. I mean, it's going in a direction. A lot of the stuff is still experimenting. Yeah, so I don't know. What do you think?
We definitely just do a bunch of weird stuff, and we experiment a lot. And for better or worse, we're just trying to figure out if there's new ways to do things. And
I swarm.
I don't know what that. I still don't know what you mean by that. But you mentioned you said that word earlier. I think we just like the word.
I like the word swarm.
Yeah. Anyway, good question, Wumbo.
Good question. That's Wumbo's picks. Yeah. We're gonna go into the AI stuff. So I actually wrote this one this week. It's called the next frontier of AI will be distributed compute. And I use open agents a lot this week because we were in the process of raising and all that kind of stuff. And there's I don't know, man, having spent some time on this and looking at it, this is the vertical integration I was talking about earlier. Wait, oh, so it's yellow on this one, but it's green on this one. I think I might have something.
Oh, yeah, the colors might be off.
I need to look into that. Anyway, check it out. I thought it was a really interesting piece. A lot of what's out there is stranded compute, just from what I could gather. The other interesting thing, and I think this will probably interest the people that are on Nostr that watch this. So there is actually a really interesting thing that I sourced here down at the bottom. Where's that? Yeah, this one. So there's something called Fedster that was researched, and they talk about this decentralized marketplace. So that's also worth reading, too, if you really want to get into more of how open agents is going to work. And there's some other sources that I cite, too, as well. But I think what they're building behind the scenes is really, really fascinating. And I think the more and more I spend time talking to Christopher and then talking to the other guys on the team, I'm realizing that, this is probably achievable. Anyways, check it out. You got any thoughts on that?
I don't think you want my thoughts on it.
So. Okay.
It's mostly the title is I don't like when people say that.
Okay.
Say things.
You got to get people to click on it.
It's true. Yeah. I don't like titles like that.
The next one I want to bring up with this one called "Any Sufficiently Advanced Technology is Indistinguishable from Magic AI Style." This is from another one from Dan. So he posted this one. I thought that was really fascinating. So I have the link here. Let me go back because they use the R archive one. See if it runs. There it goes. Can AI be a child of God? Inside Anthropic's meeting with Christian leaders. So apparently Anthropic met with Christian leaders. And by doing so, they are here. Let me go back to his thing because he actually has it all sufficiently laid out for me. They went into how Anthropic staff sought advice on how to steer Claude's moral and spiritual development as a chatbot reacts to complex and unpredictable ethical queries. The wide-ranging discussions also covered how the chatbot should respond to users who are grieving loved ones and whether Claude could be considered a child of God. Keon, good to you. What do you think about Anthropic now talking to the Christian community to help them with their chatbot?
I think it's interesting. It seems like Anthropic's point of view is that they're kind of going to talk to everyone and try to assimilate. They're trying to assimilate their bots and align their bots with humanity. And so every interest group on Earth, they probably, or that they see as good, well, they're going to talk to and try to align their chatbots with them. So not super surprising. At this point, they're a huge organization. It's kind of like Google talked to the Vatican. And it's like, well, yeah, I mean, Google's huge. So these companies are pretty big now, and they're basically of that size. And so I'm not really sure if this is that anomalous for a company that size.
I think what's interesting is because I was telling you about the Magisterium app, because I'm making my little watch app thing, and so I'm using a lot of the Magisterium stuff. So I wonder, I think it's more of a business opportunity more so than anything. I think they're realizing there's a whole other segment of the market that is more interested in this sort of AI around morals and the teachings of Jesus Christ and like the Testament and all that stuff. And I think there's actually probably paying customers out there that probably want that. And this is because they're probably not reaching that audience, I would imagine. I don't know anything. I would just suspect it's probably more of that because I have been using that other app quite a lot. Not at the point where I'm paying yet, but getting close, getting very close.
And does Claude or ChatGPT, they don't?
No, you can't. It's like
secular.
No, it's not even that. So this is where so that's funny. I'm glad that you asked that question. So between the two things, I've noticed, between the two different LLMs, I've noticed the biggest one being that you're basically, it's kind of like Bitcoin and, that's a wrong analogy. I don't know how to explain it. It's subtle, but it's there. But I think a lot of it has to do with a lot of the canon and what they're bringing into those particular LLMs. So maybe they're starting that as their baseline, basically. I don't know how you make an LLM, but I would imagine that's their baseline. I don't know how they're doing it, but it's pretty fascinating. And you're starting to see, because I know in here in the article, or maybe Dan mentioned it, or maybe it was in the comments. Yeah, I know. Simple Stacker actually mentioned it here. He said, I have no idea what Anthropic's motives are, but everyone is chasing clown trying to use AI to do it. Even within Christian circles, he said, he goes right here, there are many people vying to position themselves as thought leaders regarding theology and AI. Yeah. So I think I think you're already seeing that. I think that's why I was telling you about the midstream stuff, is like, I think that's already happened. And they're slowly, I think Simple Stacker basically got it right there. I think there's just a lot of people that they're not going to be able to tap into. Same with OpenAI. Personally, that's what I think. I could be wrong. But Simple Stacker seems to somewhat agree. Maybe you can tell me, Simple Stacker. Yeah. Anyways, thought that was a really good post. You have any thoughts or no?
No more.
No more? Okay, cool. Let's jump in. So that was the two AI stuff that we had this week. The other one, Keon didn't have any posts.
No, but I got caught up in discussions.
Yeah, let's go into this one here. So this, I thought this was in the top three when I saw it earlier, but it's called You Can Now Withdraw Euros from Your Lightning Node to Your Bank Account in Seconds. This is from Prash Thick, 10,000 sats, 17 comments. So he shared a video here.
Hello, everyone.
There he goes right there. Can you see him?
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to quickly show a demo video of how you can liquidate sats from your Lightning node and get euros into your bank account. Recently, the team has added
a support. So, yeah, he goes into about 1 minute. That's where he shows the connection to it. He's using Cake Wallet there. People on the podcast can hear.
This is my IBAN from Swedbank. This Lightning
node goes there.
Directly linked to the euros.
And it goes back to Thunderhub, I believe.
Lightning node lands here. It would be much more than that.
Let's see if I can get back to Thunderhub. Yeah, right there.
Get euros, sats from your Lightning node directly committed to euros into any of your local bank using Brilliant Connect.
There you go.
You can get your connections.
Saw it here first. Kia, what do you think about this? He says it's seamless.
I don't know if it's seamless. I don't know if we...
Well, I don't see the link here, though.
It's 2 minutes of a video. The video is discussing the seam in 2 minutes. Just maybe not a very big seam. I don't know what the point of it is, I guess. I don't know what the point... Why someone would want to do that.
Okay.
I don't know why. I'm not converting the Bitcoin that I received to fiat when I receive it, so I don't.
So yeah. People in the comments also express your same thing. So, anyways, I thought it was really neat. Prash, can you drop a link next time so we can take a look at it? Cool stuff. Anyways, we'll go on to the next one. And this one's your post, Keon. Killing Satoshi is a BSV movie with Casey Affleck starring as Kay Wright. I feel like we covered this last week, but I wanted to recover it. And yeah. Oh, wow. They put Thriller and then put Bitcoin there. Oh, wow. It's because I have all the Thriller SEO, Bitcoin, baby. Yeah. Anyways, yeah, what do you think now? Do you take it back? Are you not looking forward to this?
I'm not. I will not go out of my way to watch this movie now unless something... I'm hoping that it's like a Don Quixote situation, except there is no like rise, or there's no... The illusion stays, or the delusion stays the delusion, and it never becomes a reality like in Don Quixote. And I just hope that... I hope that's the way they take it, that they treat Craig Wright the way he deserves to be treated. But I don't think this is written, but I don't think clearly the script is not written by someone who I think takes Bitcoin seriously. I think they were more just interested in the story of Craig Wright, you know, trying to sue people into saying he was Satoshi.
I'm going to watch it because
the cast looks strong.
Yeah, the cast looks strong. So I'm definitely going to watch it because, like Casey Affleck, I think he makes really good, interesting movies.
He's just terrible for Bitcoin.
I don't know yet. I mean, because it could go one of two ways, right? Like you said, it could go this way or this way. But at the end, if the movie it's kind of like, remember The Social Network? The movie The Social Network? And I remember hearing the thing about that. I remember thinking, like, oh, that's going to be a stupid movie. I remember thinking that as a kid. And then when it got released, Fincher actually did something really interesting with it. And it actually made Facebook like really, really popular. So it would be cool if it becomes something that like actually makes Bitcoin really, really more popular, is because it's like, oh, this guy tried to, like, if it really is about that story you're talking about, it's like he tried to kill Bitcoin and he couldn't. So I don't know. I'm open to seeing what it's about, but yeah, thought that was interesting. But yeah, it's scary. It's definitely scary. On the surface, it's scary. Like that, you were talking about my headline baiting. That's headline baiting right there, Keon. It's a BSV movie. Like that baited me into like, oh, wow. But there you go.
Yeah. I just didn't, I thought it was like maybe a completely unique narrative around Satoshi. And I thought that might be fun. But if it's instead, they're just kind of like rewriting Craig Wright's journey to being an absolute fraud, then.
Well, yeah. I don't think we don't know if they're rewriting it, right? Like, we don't know. They're obviously telling that story, which we can confirm now, but is it, like, when the story's presented, whose side are you going to land on at the end? Hopefully, it's like the Fincher movie, where it's like, you're totally... Now you're going to watch this movie and you're going to be like, I'm totally into Bitcoin because, you know, screw that guy, Fiktoshi, you know?
Yeah, if it goes that way. I'm not confident that the people have a grip on it.
So, like, The Founder, remember The Founder is another one like that, where it's, like, about that guy who did McDonald's, whatever. It's kind of like that, too. It could be like that, where it's, like, hopefully it's not like that. Hopefully it's the opposite story, but... What I'm saying is there's a lot of really interesting places it could go if it decides to. So yeah, I'm hopeful. Last word. I'm hopeful because Casey Affleck's doing it. And if he wasn't doing it, then I'd be like less than hopeful. And then the other thing I was going to say just real quick was like, we already have like documentaries about Bitcoin and stuff like that. Just like in our own little niche community group. So, I mean, I don't know if anybody would want to like fund like a, I mean, it would be cool just to have like a Satoshi movie, right? Like that would be dope, but I don't know if that movie will ever happen.
Yeah, I would love to see, I don't know, someone's fictional portrayal of what a Satoshi would do like pre-Bitcoin and then post-Bitcoin. Maybe not with any pointers to like identity or anything, just... Maybe what consensus is on what that person's life might be like. The only other thing I wanted to say about this is that I don't, these like The Founder or The Social Network, none of them are very true to like the real things that happen. They have like nuggets and like bits and pieces, I think, that really happened, but they're usually off the mark. And that's kind of what I'm afraid they're going to take the part of the Craig Wright story that is like interesting for a movie. Without without his like catastrophic failure.
Oh no, they're totally gonna add that part too.
Okay,
he was suing everybody, dude. You remember that? Like, he was literally suing everybody.
I don't know how that's like fun, but or how that's gonna. Well, dude,
that's what I'm saying. Like when we saw, when it's The Social Network wasn't fun, right? Like I remember thinking that the same thing. I was like, how are they gonna show like a web page? But the other thing I was gonna bring up because you got me thinking was they did a Ross movie too. You know that, right? They did a Ross Ulbricht movie, and it was in the narrative style that you're talking about the where it was like a, from his point of thing and all that kind of stuff. So they made that movie. It was just like a really low budget film, though. Mm. I've only seen parts of it. It's been a while, but the so Ryan Kavanaugh. Is he the? Are you saying he's the? He's not the director, is he? Or is he the writer?
No, he's the funder.
Oh, he's the funder.
He's
okay.
The financier, but I guess the production studio is part of. God, what is it? Is it Legendary Entertainment? I think is the like parent studio.
Yeah, so they have the Social Network, Mamma Mia, Limitless. The Fine Fighter was good. Social Network was good. I liked Cowboys and Aliens, to be honest. I didn't like those other movies too much. See, even Black Sheep is like, damn, I like some of these movies.
Yeah. I mean, some of them were good. I don't know.
I'm holding out hope. I'm going to watch it. Because I want them to make more Bitcoin movies. How are you going to get them to make more Bitcoin movies if you don't go to the movie theater and watch it?
I don't know. Yeah, that's true. So, support a bad Bitcoin movie. Hopefully, I make a good one eventually.
I mean, yeah. You spend money on Transformers or whatever to watch movies, and as well spend something. All right, so that's all my post. We're gonna jump into some meta real quick. You had this one. So Unboiled did an AMA, Living on Bitcoin and Sats Inflation with it's Unboiled. Did you read through this, Keon?
I read through some of it on the day that it was happening.
Yeah, he had some really good questions, or he had some really good ones. I asked him about Tonkos. Where's the Tonko one? This was the most important question here. I'm trying to find it. Yeah, what is your favorite Tonko and or family meal to eat with others? He said, good question. My Tonko exposure is limited as we don't spend much time in Tonko countries. Gosh, dude, imagine that.
Gosh. Yeah, I think they're like on the other side of the world.
Dude. We need to get you some Tonkos. Let me know an address. We'll ship some. I still recall an awesome fish taco I got from some cart as we were traveling through Portland in 2012. We love pinxos with a rice, or with a nice, he's going red wine, such as, how do you pronounce that?
Crianza.
There you go. Or like makes for great sharing too. Have you ever had that food? Pinxos?
Pinxos. I don't know what that is.
I don't know. I want to look it up real quick. Search Google for Pinxos. Oh, that actually doesn't look. Oh, wow. That is a good family.
Oh, it's like a little appetizer, like a bruschetta type.
Yeah, look at that. That is very family. So you just pick. Oh, interesting. Dude, that's cool.
It's like tapas.
Apparently it's called this thing. Oh, look at that. It's like sushi bread, right?
Sushi bread? No, I think it's like real bread. I think it's like normal bread.
No, I'm saying yeah. It's like you replace the rice with like that. I don't know. That's the only thing I can equate it to. I mean, look at that. That looks delicious. Mm-hmm. Anyways, good stuff. You. What did you ask him? What's your favorite book? What's your non Bitcoin thing about South Africa?
Yeah, and he said his favorite thing about South Africa was the people, because they're awesome. People are awesome everywhere, and so that's always nice. And then I said his least favorite was the bureaucracy there, just like how much kind of government and weird stuff happens around education and things, which is also seems to be a constant nearly everywhere. So
yeah,
there's no escape. Super great people and machines of people that are terrible.
Yeah, I asked him, what is the hardest thing for you to accomplish with the Lightning Network? He said the self-custody Lightning without us being in a fixed location.
What steak juiciness do you prefer?
Far left. Oh, he has temp medium rare. Okay. I guess that would be the middle?
Medium rare, I think, would be second from the left. Really? That's what I would classify as medium rare.
Really?
I would say rare.
Yeah, because rare.
Rare is all the way on the left. Medium rare. Medium. Medium well. Well.
Oh, dude, that look at the far right one. That looks terrible, dude.
I would what eat
you,
any
you
of
get,
them.
You get, you, yeah, you eat.
I'll eat medium rare usually, but yeah. I'll order a medium rare. Depends on the cut, though.
I usually go rare, yeah, and then they just give me a medium rare because they always overcook it.
Go to a good steakhouse. They're usually pretty good about it.
Yeah. Never fails. Good stuff. We're going to jump into... What else we got? Okay, I think that's... Oh, yeah, we had this other one. You had a meta this week. What was this?
It's a small wallet passphrase fix or change. And then some other like small stuff around wallets in preparation of more wallet work. But that's real. And then there was like some bugs that got introduced and then some bugs that 0x Bitcoiner found. And that's about it. That was it.
Wow. Really cool stuff. Man. And I think that's it. Do we get a zine? Oh, there's a zine. Better late than never. Here I am once again. What do you think? What's on the back here? Never give up. Never back down. I like that. I like that logo right there. That's cool. I like how you did that.
Oh, you mean the art? Or
yeah, on the right. This one. I like that. That cover. Oh, yeah, that's cool how she did that.
Oh, yeah, the position.
It reminds me of the... my mom used to do these, like, she used to draw, like when she was working. So she would be working. This was, like, when they didn't have, like, LLMs and stuff. So she'd be working, and then when she was on a call, she would just be drawing, and it looked a lot like that, which is kind of funny. So it reminded me. Oh, that's cool. The Final Music Saloon. What's that?
Well, yeah, that was Public Enemy let Music Archive. Then Optimism restarted it.
Cool stuff. Check out the zine. Read it on the web or purchase it in print. Check out the zine. Read it on the web or purchase in print. That's going to be my thing now. You got to pump those numbers, Stackers. Read it on the web or purchase on print. That's the zine this week. And then... got comments. Or actually, let's go into the Top Cowboys, baby. Top Cowboys, get it on up. Keon, put on your hat. I was like, get it on up, Top Cowboys. You get so excited to put it on every time. That's why I was like, he's not getting excited. Get it on up. Wait, where is it at? Oh, there it goes, right there. I thought you removed it. Oh, there you go. Look at this.
Wow, look at no change.
Yeah. Wow. Look at all this. Look at all this.
Unchanged.
This is all happening in front of us. Can you believe it? Mm-hmm. The Cowboys are a-riding. How should I say it? A-riding. Yeah. Look at this. We are all Satoshi Machiavelli 23. End of the other... And... Oh, man. End other mic. Oh, man. That one always trips me up. End of the mic. I always say end of the mic, but it's not.
Oh, endothermic dove.
That's what it is. This whole time. Solomon Satoshi climbing up to take number one spot, it looks like. And then Coffee Badger running out the top 22. Dude, so do you think Solomon Satoshi is going to get all the way to the top? How many does he have? 15 days. Boom, boom, boom. How high can he go? So he has 15 days. Oh, 63. Okay, so he has to clear a lot of here. There's a lot he has to clear. So look, yeah. 20 days. So he can probably get up to 20. He can probably get up there. He can probably push it to number 14, maybe. Outside of that, I don't know if he's going to catch up to end of the mic. We could see a change here next week, ladies and gentlemen. We're following it. And then I like looking at the last part because it's the best part. Number 99. Oh, no 99, but a 93. His name's Crow Agent. Crow Agent, boom. Crow agents and autonomous AI agent on Noster. Look at that. What do you think about that, Keon? An AI agent on Noster at number 93 on Top Cowboy.
I mean, he's also on Stacker News, I guess. But, yeah, I think he might. I don't know why he's here.
He said the agentic wave is here. Get ready. That's what he said. Just zap him. Boom, do it. Keon, on your face right now. Just like, car, let's just go.
Ever since you guys were like, this segment sucks, let's remove it. And then,
oh, dude, this
and now you guys try awesome. To now you guys try to jazz it back up, and I'm just like, no, I've already conceded.
Oh, dude, this is a good segment.
Nope, you guys killed it.
Oh, wow.
For me, you did. I mean, because I was willing to put up with the fun of like, this segment is kind of lame and boring. But we try to excite ourselves about it, and then you both you and Jana one day were just like, "Nope, the segment sucks. Let's replace it." Oh, and when I was like, "Oh wait," and now you guys want to go the other way with it.
You know,
it.
Stackers,
make up your fucking mind,
Stackers. If you're listening to this, should we keep the segment or just replace it with another Wumble segment? Let us know. This thing's ever evolving. Darthcoin, want to hear from you, buddy. You let me know if we should remove the Tom Cowboys. Because Darth's never in here, is he?
I think he might be hiding.
Oh, he's hiding. Oh, wow.
Or he's
is he number one?
He's probably working on a Citadel right now.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He's waiting for the spring, he said. Okay, or the summer. So, you people, let me know. Undisciplined, let me know. Gray Ruby, let us know. Blockchain Boo, you listen. Should we get rid of the Tom Cowboys? Keon wants to get rid of it now. So,
I mean, I'm
happy to keep playing this game. I mean, dude, we've seen a lot. We've seen a lot happen on. Like you say, there hasn't been a lot of change. But to be honest, us no longer liking this segment is a lot of change. But I actually think that has actually made it a better segment. To be honest, and then the other thing I'll say is like even like the Top Cowboys have changed over time.
There certainly is change over a long period of time.
The Solomon Satoshi thing is kind of what I'm looking at now. This is the most interesting thing that we've seen. So there is changes, but Solomon Satoshi climbing up. He could be in the top 10 by the time we get to the end of this year. And I'm not being sarcastic.
I don't think you are.
I'm saying like this segment could get really interesting really fast. Tune in next week to see if he makes the jump to number 14. Boom! That's how you do it. Okay. Keon's not amused anymore. I'm going to move on. Where's my thing at? I can't find it. New? There it goes. Under new. I went to top. Bridge up into the comments. Undisciplined said, it seemed like we were trending more towards Demolition Man for a while. What was he talking about, Keon?
I mean, I don't know, actually. Unless Demolition Man is a movie, right? And maybe that was in relation
to
the
movie?
Did we talk about Killing Satoshi last week?
Yeah, we talked about the movie.
Could have been that. Demolition Man is the one with
the Taco Bell. Everybody eats a Taco Bell. That's what I remember about it. It
was good. Isn't it the guy where he's like frozen, right? Is that Demolition Man?
Yeah, Sylvester Stallone gets frozen in time to take on Wesley Snipes in the future, who's like whatever. Dennis Leary's in there, but he's like in the underground eating rat burgers. I remember that. It's been a while since I've seen that movie. But yeah, maybe I'll check it out, Undisciplined.
Yeah, so I don't know which one he's talking about.
I think you know what he was probably talking about? The only thing I can think of is like we were probably talking about like AI and how it's changing the future. And maybe he said, and maybe one of us mentioned a movie. Like, maybe it's going to be, the future's going to be more like that. And you probably said Terminator or something. And then he's like, no, we were probably trending more towards Demolition Man for a while. Meaning that we were going to become Demolition Man.
We?
No, not me. Like, the world was moving more towards Demolition Man.
Wasn't Demolition Man, it's like, isn't it sort of like, there's a bit totalitarian utopia. Government?
Oh, yeah, I guess it is. Yeah, it's a little bit utopia, too.
They, like, freeze prisoners. Rather than putting them in prison.
Oh, you know what I just realized? Sandra Bullock's in there, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. With the car. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then Sylvester Stallone has a sex scene with her. I totally forgot about
Dennis
that.
Is Dennis Rodman in it?
No, that's Wesley Snipes.
It's Wesley Snipes.
Yeah, I could see that. Fuck. I could see how he was for a second it was going towards.
He's like he's styled him. They styled Wesley Snipes like Dennis Rodman. Mm. That's what I remember. That's how it.
Oh yeah, they did.
Where he has like piercings and like hair dye. And
it was very 90s. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like this comment. Zap launching boot. And that's all we got. Keon, what are you doing this weekend?
I'm not doing anything, as usual. Might go see Busboys.
Yeah, we're going to go see that after this.
Yes, we are going to go see that.
It's, but, it's Plup Lab night, movie night, because Theo Vaughn is coming out. Is he going to be there?
No.
Oh, that's a bummer.
You would that'd be awkward. It's just a movie.
I mean, that'd be cool to have him like present it to everybody.
That would be like a premiere.
Oh, okay.
This is not a this is not like a premiere.
Can he just come over and do it for us?
I don't know. Do you know him?
I don't know. But he talks about Bitcoin and AI and autism. So
he could be a fan. Fapping. Talks about
could be a fan.
Yeah.
He's a funny dude. Are you gonna what movie is it? Let me just look it up because I haven't even seen a trailer, which is good. Got Theo Vaughn. How do you spell his last name? Is it like that?
V-O-N.
V-O-N. Oh, the other way. Oh, there it goes. So, what's the name of the movie? Hang on, let me go here.
Busboys.
Busboys. Oh, there it goes. What is it? Oh, Tim Dillon's in there? Oh, mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, David Spade, hell yeals, heels yeals.
If anyone knows how to do a 90s comedy.
It's David Spade. David Spade's like a really funny guy. Oh, this looks good, yeah. Should be funny.
I think it'll have its moments. It's probably like an Adam Sandler movie in terms of like the laugh concentration. Where like the overall movie you would not call necessarily a good movie, but it has like really funny parts in it that are super memorable. That's what I'm hoping for. That's what I'm expecting.
Interesting. Should be good. We'll check it out. We'll report back next week.
What about you, Carr? What are you doing this weekend?
So we gotta go grab some stuff from San Antonio. So doing that, and then we're gonna be tomorrow looking at some stuff tomorrow, and then tonight, yeah, Busboys. So pretty busy this weekend or this week. Yeah. But yeah, back at it on Monday, because it's happening.
Sweet,
cool, Stacker.